Hare Krishna. Kako se? Dobro? Ok. Jai. Jako? Jako. Nia? No. Jago. Ok. In Krishna consciousness, it's always Jako. And what would you like to talk about? Any suggestions? Huh? Krishna. Who's that? Okay, we all know who Krishna is. Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, the cause of all causes, and the only feature worth worshiping. Okay, we all know who Krishna is. I was thinking of speaking about the importance of reading Prabhupada's books. Is that okay? I spoke about that yesterday, and I think it went over pretty good. There's a verse, actually. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 25. Ye lila amrit vine kaya yara anapane tuba bhaktir dubala jivane yara eda bandhu pane upaluti upalilita tanu mane hasagaya karare natana. Men become strong and stout by eating sufficient food grains. But the devotees who simply eat ordinary grains but do not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna gradually become weak and fall down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom, and he begins to laugh, sing, and dance. This is from Madhya Lila. In Prabhupada's purport, all the devotees connected with this Krishna conscious movement must read all the books that I have translated, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and others. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. Thus they will miss the opportunity to attain eternal blissful life of transcendental pleasure. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gena Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Bhakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Pasyatyare Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Prabhupada is using this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita to make a very important point. We chant Hare Krishna, and that's very important. In fact, that is the Yuga Dharma. If we purify our minds, we purify our hearts, we've experienced transcendental upliftment and pleasure. But there's something that goes along with that, and that is reading Prabhupada's books. We're hearing about Krishna's pastimes. This is what we say part two of a two-part program, in the sense that the holy name is like Krishna and the pastimes of the Lord are like Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna in one. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahiyanya. Mahaprabhu is Krishna with the mood of Radharani. So he's the complete absolute truth in one person. The absolute truth is of two natures, the, what we say, the object and the subject. The subject of worship and the object for worshiping. And that manifests in Krishna's internal mood, and he manifests that as Srimati Radharani. She becomes his counterpart, where she's non-different than him, but at the same time, different. Why? For the sake of exchanging loving pastimes. So that loving pastime is, what we say, reaches its pinnacle of perfection in Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna, but he has Radharani's love, or her mood of love, of devotion. So when we talk about the process of devotional service, we have to carefully understand that it's not only chanting the holy names of the Lord, which is the Yuga Dharma, most important, but it's also hearing about Krishna. To hear about Krishna means to awaken love for Krishna, because Krishna is all attractive. His names, his forms, his qualities, his activities are all attractive. And because he has that quality of all attractiveness, these things bring our consciousness away from material attachments, material activities, and into spiritual transcendental consciousness. So these pastimes are found in Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada wrote so many books. In fact, there's more than 80 books that Prabhupada translated. And these are various forms of... But they, in the essence, as Prabhupada mentions here, is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and Nectar of Devotion. These four reign supreme amongst all the scriptures that are available in the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the composite in a very, what we say, systematic way of the transcendental form of Krishna. The transcendental body of Krishna is correlated or corresponds, or the different parts of the transcendental form of the Lord corresponds to different cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the first and second canto are his lotus feet, and then his thighs, calves and thighs, all the way up to 10th canto is Krishna's smiling face, which is Krishna in Vrindavan. So as we approach Bhagavatam, we're approaching Krishna in his transcendental form. So Bhagavatam being non-different than Krishna, when we take the opportunity to read and absorb ourselves in the reading and try to understand that, we actually come in contact with the absolute truth in a very direct way. And it just nourishes our transcendental minds. These Bhagavatams are, what we say, they are Amalam Purana. Amalam means pure. You can't find anything material in Srimad Bhagavatam. Whereas if you compare other scriptures, in different Vedic scriptures, you'll find a mixture of spiritual principles and teachings and activities, along with some material considerations. But not in Bhagavatam. That's why it's the purest of all the scriptures. It's called, Amalam. It's also called Paramahansa Samhita. In other words, the greatest souls find great pleasure in reading Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says it himself, Nasta Prayeshu Abhrajeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki. By regular attendance in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and along with rendering service to the spiritual master, then everything inauspicious, all of our attachments, all of our, what we say, the dirt of material association becomes washed away, practically destroyed, simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is very important. And it's not only important, it's considered to be a regulative principle. One must hear Bhagavatam daily. So we can read it, and we can hear Prabhupada speak it on his different recorded lectures, or even if we can hear it from our spiritual masters. But Bhagavatam must be the subject matter, because Bhagavatam is pure. And even if it becomes a little hard to understand, still simply by the sound vibration that it emanates, because transcendental sound is purifying, even if you don't understand it. Even if you don't understand it, it has a certain purifying element to it, because it's not made of anything material. It's been given power by the pure devotees, and is coming from Krishna himself. Krishna Bhagavatam is Krishna in his different manifestations, but as his personality. Just like it says in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, the question was asked, well, now Krishna has gone. Krishna had left the world. He was here for 125 years performing his pastimes in Mathura and Vrindavan and in Dwarka, and then finally ending up on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. After Krishna disappears, everyone was thinking, now what do we do? Krishna's gone. Where is religion to be found? Well, Bhagavatam answers the question that same element of pure religious principles, which was brought by Krishna when he was personally present, remains present within the pages of Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam actually is Krishna manifest for the whole world to associate with directly, although he's personally apparently gone from the purview. He's been gone for 5,000 years, but still he remains within the pages of Bhagavatam. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore Prabhupada is giving some very direct instructions. It says that if we don't take the advantage of these books, and Prabhupada, how much energy and time and effort that he did to make these books available to us in different languages. Prabhupada had a full schedule. When you hear about Prabhupada's schedule, you could become like stunned. You think, how is it possible anyone can do this? Should I mention his schedule? Yeah. Oh, it's really quite scary. In the sense that if you try to do it, you won't. I would start, and Prabhupada would take rest at night. And he would also say, he said, I will always take rest between 10:30 and 11 every night. And then he would get up at 12. So he would just do a little resting for an hour. And then he'd begin his translations of Bhagavatam, reading the scriptures given by the previous acharyas, understanding what they're saying, and then adding his realizations. And that was called the Bhaktivedanta purports. Prabhupada wanted to give the Western mindset something that they could understand, at the same time keeping the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam's message. He made it Westernized so we get a little bit. Because for us, you know, the way it was given in the, according to the tradition in Vedic India, it's very technical, very hard to understand. So Prabhupada wanted to broke it down. And so that was a real meditation for Prabhupada. And he would do that from about 12 o'clock to maybe about 4 in the morning. And then around that time he would chant japa for a while, and then he would go out on a morning walk. And then his senior devotees would join him, and Prabhupada would discuss different subject matters. Prabhupada used his morning walk because when he was ill in 1967, he had to go to the hospital, and he had his third heart attack. That one was the one that almost took his life. Actually, astrologer said that one was he was supposed to die at that time. But Prabhupada said, I prayed to Krishna, my mission is not even started, please give me more time. So Krishna gave me more time. So Prabhupada was in the hospital, and then He was visited by one Jewish doctor, and the doctor said, you know, your teacher, he prays too much. He needs to exercise. So Prabhupada took that seriously and began his morning walks. So every day he would go for at least, you know, a few mile walk with his devotees, and they would talk. And Prabhupada walked fast too. I was on one of his walks. Sometimes the young, us young devotees, we'd be jogging and Prabhupada be walking. Prabhupada was so fast, it was amazing. We couldn't figure out where he got all that speed from. And then Prabhupada did that, and then after he would wind up at the temple, wherever he was, and then he would sit on the Vyasa's son. And then they would offer Guru Puja to Prabhupada, and then he would give class, Srimad Bhagavatam class, and then he would retire to his quarters, and then he would take breakfast. His breakfast consisted of some fruit, some chickpeas, some fried cashews, and rasgulla or sandesh. That was his breakfast. And on cold days, when it became very cold, he would ask for halava. Because he said, you know, these days we need a little grain, you know. And sometimes they would make utma. And then Prabhupada would take an hour rest. So he would rest after breakfast, and then after an hour he would get up, and then devotees would give him his massage. So he'd get a massage for an hour and a half to 2 hours. And Prabhupada, they would be pushing on Prabhupada's body, and Prabhupada would be like this. They would probably say, harder, harder, harder. And they're pushing with all their might, and Prabhupada's not moving. Not moving at all. They would want to, he's like a tree, you know, doesn't move. And while he was getting his massage, he would be answering letters. They would read the letters that the devotees wrote, and Prabhupada would respond, and then somebody would be typing out Prabhupada's response. So Prabhupada did his letter response during that time. Or if there wasn't any letters, he would just talk about Krishna while he was getting his massage, or something, some interesting. So after that was over, then Prabhupada would take he'd take a bath, and they would give him fresh clothes, and then he would get ready for lunch. And his lunch consisted of the same thing every day: chapatis, rice, dal, and sabji. And they had a cooker that was four tiers. Maybe you've seen it. It's actually in one place. And the rice was on the top, I think. No, the dal was on the top. So you heat it underneath, and it cooks all four things at once, except for the chapatis. Three things, actually. And then they make chapatis separate. And it was Prabhupada's lunch. So after lunch, he would take another rest of about another hour. And then he would get up, and then he would meet people throughout the evening, or go to programs, or just preach. He would preach all the way up into the evening. And then in the evening he would take some hot milk. Sometimes he would give him some puris. One time the devotees were, you know, a lot of devotees got into the health trip. So they weren't eating no white sugar. They even took the white sugar out of the kitchen. Prabhupada said, Krishna likes sugar, put it back. So two of the devotees who were really staunch on their no sugar thing, Prabhupada was sitting, they were sitting when Prabhupada, bring me some sugar and some puris. So he had a big bowl of sugar with puris, and he was dipping the puris into the sugar and eating it like that, and talking to those devotees. And they were, he wanted to make a point. He wasn't against these health things, but he didn't want Krishna to be healthy too. He wanted Krishna likes all these very opulent things. And so And then after, he would take a little evening meal. Sometimes he would speak with the devotees for a while. And then he would get ready for rest. So that was his schedule. And he followed that schedule everywhere in the world, wherever he was, every day. So it never mattered if he was traveling. Wherever he traveled to, at that time when he landed, he picked up his schedule according to that time of day. So if it was time for a massage, he would do that. And if it was time for lunch, he'd do that. So he always followed his schedule. He never broke that. Sometimes he had to break it because of programs, but usually he always followed that completely. And Prabhupada was very strict, very strict. So every night from 12 o'clock, usually 12:30 onward, he would do this Bhaktivedanta purports. That's why we have these wonderful books. That was Prabhupada's meditation. And nobody was awake at that time. And Prabhupada had what we call, we use the word, pin drop silence. So quiet. And Prabhupada could just absorb himself. And if there was any noise, he would make sure, okay. One time he was in India. And if there was any reason for he needed anything, his brahmachari assistant would sleep right outside his door. So he would ring his bell if he needed anything. So one night he rang his bell and his assistant came in, paid his obeisance, he's half asleep. You know. And Prabhupada said, "You hear that sound?" And the devotee says, "No." Prabhupada said, "Listen. You hear it?" "No." "Listen. Go find where that sound is coming from." So the devotee finally heard it, and he traced it out. It was a fan, because in India, the fans go click, 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 click. Click. You've been to India with those fans? Sometimes they go click, 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 click. It's like, whoa. So Prabhupada heard the clicking sound of a fan, and he didn't like that. That was disturbing his meditation. And his devotee couldn't even hear it. So this was probably how he wanted that, like, okay, I'm going to make these purports the best possible. No disturbances, no sounds. So that's what he put into making these books happen. So he wanted us to read these books. He told us in 1976 when he was in Mayapur, he said, "You're out distributing my books, but you don't read them." And he says, someone comes up to you, "My dear sir, my dear madam, what is in the books?" And you say, "We don't know, but our teacher, he writes, and we sell, that's all." So Prabhupada didn't want that. He said, "I wrote the books for the devotees. I want the devotees to read this and get nourished with this transcendental knowledge, and especially Krishna's leelas, Gaur's leelas, Ram leela, so many leelas of Krishna in his different incarnations." So this verse is somewhat fundamental, and it says that if we don't take time and read these books, all the books that were streamed, then we will miss the opportunity of transcendental pleasure. We'll simply return, because the intelligence is a very important part of the living entity's existence. We have our senses, we have our body, we have our mind, and we also have our intelligence. Intelligence needs to be activated. If the intelligence is simply activated for material activities, then the intelligence doesn't grow in the right way. So the intelligence has to be used to hear about Krishna's pastimes and become inspired. It purifies the mind, it awakens the intelligence, so it's very important. So you might say, "Well, I don't like to read so much." But that's all right. Then listen to tapes. Listen to that. You can do that also, because this is that knowledge is coming in the same, different media, but at the same time it is the essential principle of receiving transcendental knowledge, either through hearing or through reading. But Prabhupada wants us to read his books. I know some devotees take time now to, and sometimes they go on reading marathons, just go away and read books for months. Just study, 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 study. We don't recommend that as a principle, but it's also very good, especially if you're young. When you're young, you can use your mind and your intelligence is very much in good condition. When you get older, you get a little bit slower, generally. And so using that youthful energy to read and study will be a great, what we say, investment in the future. And as you get on in years and you can speak the books, you can remember so many things and you feel transcendentally nourished. It's actually food. And here the analogy is given. It's compared to eating food grains, and that we can eat food grains that are available in the marketplaces, and that nourishes the body, but still, it doesn't give us transcendental knowledge. Only that comes from hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, especially scriptures are very important. There's one devotee, he's a very senior devotee in our movement, and he's made a vow to read Bhagavatam every day and finished the Bhagavatam in 1 year. So then he counted how many pages in the Bhagavatam, and then he divided it into 365 days. And it comes out to 41 pages a day. So by reading every day 41 pages, he completes Srimad Bhagavatam in 1 year, like that. And Bhagavatam will fix us strongly in Krishna consciousness. Once you get a working knowledge of Bhagavatam, you will never be deviated in this process. The chanting of the holy name is powerful, but the thing is, unless we chant with purity, if we're chanting with offense yet, we still don't get the full benefit of the holy name. But Bhagavatam is direct and very merciful. We can just apply ourselves to Bhagavatam and even start Bhagavatam discussion groups where you have a few people reading. One, you pick a subject and you all read it and then you all discuss it together and ask each other questions and give your realizations. So this is a wonderful way, and the scriptures say Bodhiyantas parasparam katiyantas chimam nitya tusyanti cha ramanti cha. Krishna says, the thoughts of my devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great pleasure in enlightening one another and conversing about me. This is a very important verse. It's actually one of the most important verses in Bhagavad Gita. It's called the nutshell verse. And in that verse, it emphasizes how Krishna becomes so happy when he knows his devotees are talking about him and reading about him, discussing his pastimes, discussing the process of pure devotional service. So we encourage everyone to read, make a vow, not a promise. Promises can be broken, but vows can't. Make a vow, read maybe at least 1 hour a day. That's not hard, is it? How many hours we sleep? 12? 13? No. 7? Okay. Take one of those hours and throw them away and use it for reading. Instead of 7, 6. Instead of 6, 5. Instead of 5, 4. So we can always cut down on the time we use to maintain this body and use it for time for reading. Yeah. I won't take it any farther. I was going to ask everybody to make a vow now. Ooh, would you like to do that? A now vow? Okay, you ready? This is the Panchatattvas there, so. And Krishna's watching. So, we want everyone to read at least 1 hour a day of one of Prabhupada's books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many will do that for at least one more year, 1 hour a day? Oh boy. Come on, you guys could stretch. Don't do it if you can't, if you don't promise. You got to promise now. If you promise, it means you do it. Okay, we'll try again. One, two. Oh, now it's getting better. Okay. Krishna says, time I am. That means when you give time to Krishna, you always have time for everything. There's an old saying, if you want something done, ask a busy person. The person who doesn't do anything or doesn't do very little, does little, you ask them to do something, got no time. But a person who's busy, you always ask them to do something, they always got time. They know how to use time. So in Krishna consciousness, time is relative to our consciousness, so we can always use time for reading Prabhupada's books. Okay, so I'm supposed to schedule to stop by this time. Any questions? Yes.
I have a question. I know about this Parashuram school.
Parashuram?
Yes. And he has to go for a pilgrimage for 1 year because of his sin.
Mm.
He took the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
What,
how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead commit sin?
No. How should the proper do the things that he would not commit a sin?
He's simply teaching by example. He's an incarnation of the Lord. He was showing that in order to teach, this is to kill it. You're saying killing a cow?
No. This king wants to take the cow. He killed that king and all his army. So the father said, because of this, you have to go to
one
year.
Oh, was that? Well, he's following his father. Therefore, in Vedic culture, it's the duty of the son to obey the father completely, even if they disagree with the father. The Shastras explain that there are many superiors in our life that give us guidance and direction and knowledge. And two of those persons are our parents, father and mother. So to disobey the father and mother is considered to be a transgression of religious principles. We have the example of Jamadagni, who told Parasuram, who was his son, Jamadagni told Parasuram, kill your mother. His mother was named Renuka. And first he asked his other sons to do that, and they said, no, we can't kill her mother. Why can we do that? And he said to the Parasuram immediately cut off the head of his mother. And then he said, my dear son, you are very wonderful. I'll ask for a benediction. He said, okay, you give me one benediction, I'll bring my mother back to life and don't let her remember being killed. So his father granted that benediction. His mother somehow became unchaste. And his father was angry with her, so that's what happened. So that's an example there. How, even when it was difficult, he had to obey his father. His father was a great personality. So, nowadays the parents don't live up to the standards. And therefore, people don't obey their parents, nor do they respect their parents, because the parents are really not following God, and therefore they don't have much to offer. So, but sometimes they say, even if they're not following, still one should obey, because they're parents. but that has to be understood according to time, place, and situation. I saw another hand up. There was another question somewhere. Yes. Twelve parts.
12, okay.
Tenth canto is the smiling face, his forehead is 11th canto, and the top of the head is the 12th canto. 12 cantos.
It's 41 page per day. Is it meant for all 12 cantos?
Yeah.
All
12 cantos. The devotee is Keshava Bharti Maharaj. You probably don't know him because he doesn't come here so often. But he stays in Govardhan half a year and he stays in the United States the other half. So he made that vow and he talks about it. And many of his followers are also following that. And the temple that he's preaching at, the whole Brahmachari ashram has become so strong. They've become a powerful Brahmachari ashram now. Why? Because they're following that. Reading Bhagavatam 41 pages a day and also discussing it. You want to get strong in Krishna consciousness? Read and discuss Prabhupada's books. This will give you the strength and the knowledge. It cuts through the illusions of the material energy. When Maya attacks, and when you're equipped with material spiritual knowledge, then you know exactly know how to deal with the material energy, because you know you have that knowledge. Otherwise, we get bewildered if we're not equipped with how Maya's working. Just like I wrote the other day, every time you want to do something in Krishna consciousness that's a little bit significant, Maya will come along and say, guess what? I got something for you to do. It happens all the time. Yeah. Every time you want to move, just like if you make this vow now, some of you made the vow to chant, to read every day 1 hour, you're going to be challenged. Maya's going to say, huh, they're getting away from me. Okay, I got a plan. Just when they want to read, I'll have somebody call them up. In other words, there'll be an opportunity that is presented to you to somehow not move forward in your spiritual. It happens all the time. Why does Maya do that? Why does Krishna allow Maya to do it? Krishna allows Maya. Maya does it. Why? To make us stronger. That's all. To make us stronger. If you don't get tested, just like you go to school. Yeah, and the best, well, how you really absorb the knowledge of the classes and the information comes in the form of tests. So you get, your tests are actually forces you to remember everything and to study more. If there was no test, you would just say, oh, I'll just go to the lectures and just look at my cell phone for the whole time. So yeah, Maya has to test us in order to give us a chance to make advancement.
Mm-hmm. I have one question regarding to reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Do you have a benefit also if you don't understand what you are reading sometimes?
There is benefit in reading because the knowledge is transcendental. And by coming in contact with it, you get some benefit. But the idea is to know what it's about. So when you're not sure, you can do two things. You can write down a question concerning your doubts. It's a good idea to have some pen and paper there and write something down. Or you can read it over and over and over until you get it. As Prabhupada said, by reading something over and over and over, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer. Yeah. Yes.
Krishna in Bhagavad Gita states what he considers knowledge, and how is it connected with reading? Because there are some of them which seem to be some qualities, and I don't understand how is it connected.
What knowledge is? Mm-hmm. There's different kinds of knowledge. The basic principle of knowledge is to know the difference between the body and the soul. That's preliminary knowledge. That's why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, when he's speaking to Arjuna, that's the first thing he teaches. Na tvevam jatu nasam na tvam neme na janati pat na chaivam bhavishyama sarve vaya vataparam. Never was a time that I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future, sir, any of us cease to be. Dehino smin yada dehe kovaram yovaram jara yatata dehantara praktir diras tata namuyanti. The embodied soul passes from boyhood to youth to old age, and similarly the self and the self-realized soul passes into another body at death. So one does not, one, Krishna spends 20 verses talking about the difference between the body and the soul, between the individual and the material energy, between spirit and matter. That's preliminary. When you have that working knowledge, then you can begin to understand the other aspects of devotional life, the process of devotional service, how that is understood. And then, of course, higher transcendental knowledge is the knowledge, the nature of Krishna. What is Krishna's transcendental nature? His qualities, his pastimes, these are higher knowledge. So knowledge is categorized accordingly. So, but all of that is in the scriptures in different ways. Okay. Anything else? Okay, thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Okay, you're on. I do it or you do it? I do it, but you're going to announce it, right? Okay. Okay. Oh, you should, you want to, you announce it and I'll do it. And I don't charge anything. So.
Hare Krishna.
It's free.
Hare Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna. Can I get back then?
Go ahead and announce
in
it.
English. I can speak in English if you want.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yes. Okay. Today is a special, moment. Because we have something to present to you in the name of Euro GBC. Every year, the Euro GBC, on the proposal of local yatras, chooses some devotees who excelled in their service through the years. So this year we have a special opportunity because every GBC found out that we have a devotee in our yatra who did some special service in last 10, 15 years in the area of prasadam distribution. So, Chandramouli Maharaj will, in the name of Euro GBC, give this, certificate or award.
For the last 10, 15 years, we have one devotee who has made distribution of Krishna's prasadam his main service and has reached hundreds and, I say not hundreds, but maybe tens and thousands of people with Krishna's mercy. So we are very happy to award, and actually I was there at the meeting when I heard that, and everybody heard it, we all became very joyful. So on behalf of all the devotees here, the Euro GBC, Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas, and all the devotees present, we want to award an excellent award to Mrigendra Prabhu for Prashadam distribution.
Viva!
Mrigendra Prabhu ki. Congratulations. Everybody's happy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I just learned today that he also opened another little outlet somewhere in the local area. And he has a little area where he's distributing foodstuffs in the downtown area, I think. So he's not only doing it, but he's thinking of ways how to expand it more and more. So that's wonderful. And Prabhupada said, in this age, if we really want to spread Krishna consciousness, we really have to spread two things, Krishna's holy name and distribute prasadam as much as possible. Thank you.